It's Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase studio on a bustling Michigan Avenue. What a difference a week makes. The weather beautiful today in Chicago. We are happy to have you with us. Big show tonight, as always, and no, I'm not just saying that because I'm contractually obligated to promise you a big show and then deliver whatever it is that I deliver. I think we're going to have some fun, as we've been having a lot lately on Sunday nights, but it is always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200, that's the number. When you call, you will be talking to Cody. I ain't no Mother Goff. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois, who always looks dismayed when I throw in his adjectives for the week. You can also text us. That's the same number, 312-981-7200. You like social media, you go with Brian Noonan Show on Facebook, Twitter. Cody's on there. Roger's on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. My mom's now on Facebook. That's how I wish her a happy Mother's Day. How horrible would that be if that were true? If that was the only way I wished my mom a happy... I messaged my mom happy Mother's Day. Because I couldn't bear to talk to her. That's not true at all. I didn't get to see my mom today. And happy Mother's Day. And I know, before we get started on any Mother's Day talk, I know today is a hard day for some people. Whether you've lost your mom, or you have a strained relationship with your mom, or you're a woman who, for whatever, you've chosen not to be a mom, or you're trying to be a mom. There's a lot of reasons this day is difficult. But know that we are cognizant of that. We're thinking of you as well, but we are focusing on moms today. And as I mentioned in Crosstalk with the guys from the Beat, which is always, Cody, you'll back me up on this. Crosstalk with the guys from the Beat, always the highlight of my Sunday. Would you agree?
Every single week. It's all you talk about.
I look forward to those 2 minutes more than the subsequent 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's always. And I never know, other than Carmen, who's going to be with him mm-hmm. when I come in. Today it was Harry. That was very nice. Sometimes it's Adam Hogue. We never know. Jared Payton always leaves before we do Crosstalk. I'm not going to hold it, take it personally. I know he's doing TV or some such. So, but those are, as I mentioned, we're going to focus on Mother's Day, and we do have a special Mother's Day edition of the Sunday Night Arcade. So moms, and it has to be two moms playing, after 7 o'clock, after the news, when Roger finally is finished, it could be 7:10, could be 7:40, we don't know. Roger likes to, Mother's Day is his big news day. That's a big news day.
Yeah.
A lot of people, stories breaking on Mother's Day.
A lot of mother stories.
A lot of fake news, but that's
no,
every
no,
day.
No,
that's every day in America. Well, yeah. Always fake news. I love to just throw that because Cody shakes his head like, you weren't going to say anything. Even remotely pull it. Why do you do that? Why do you poke the hornet's nest? Because I'm a showboat and a grandstander. There's no two ways about it. And those are the two qualities that will probably get me fired, much like other people in this country, being a showboat and a grandstander. But whereas other people, they don't know if there's tapes. Oh, we know we got tapes of this. So there's boom, we're all set.
For time immemorial.
I'm covered. I'm covered 100%. So we're going to do the arcade after 7 o'clock. I was just saying, now we're focusing on bad ladies. Not the what's the term that the president coined for the nasty women? We're not talking about nasty women in that good way. We're talking about really evil, horrible women.
Bad mama jammas.
Bad mama jammas. That is true. So we will get to those as well. And we've got my emotions ran away with me yesterday for a weird reason, and I'm guessing it's not because I'm premenopausal, so we'll try to figure that out. And
jump to conclusions.
I could be. I'm not I'm not a doctor. How many times do I have to say on this program that I'm not a doctor?
At least 3 times a night, or I'm not going to believe it.
Well, that's probably true, because if I do not list all the things that I am not, people mistakenly think that I am one of those things,
mm-hmm.
and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Let's just say
I get calls all the time from people. Brian's a really great veterinarian. Thanks for that dog tip. And I have to say, he's not a veterinarian.
And yet, here's the thing. I speak with such authority. I'm one of those people. I read a study the other day, and I should have written it down. But it's people. Lack of knowledge is not the most dangerous thing. It's the arrogance of thinking you know that makes people more dangerous. Because sometimes the dumbest people act like they know everything. And they do it so aggressively that you almost believe them. Wink, wink, Washington, D.C. But, and that's kind of what the study was based at. And there's a scientific name for it. But people who are lower achievers sometimes are so arrogant and so convinced of their own intelligence that other people go, well,
Well, now, hold on. There are also high achievers who are convinced of their own intelligence.
But they're usually intelligent.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes they're so confident they can't do wrong. Remember the pollsters before last year's election?
Oh, no, there's a lot of arrogant people.
Oh, there's no chance. Really?
But I like to... Yeah, and they spoke with confidence and they were completely wrong. So it all falls into the same
arrogance.
Thing.
I don't mind the confidence. It's the arrogance you're talking about. Smart people are just as liable to be arrogant
sure.
as...
Oh, yes, right. But there's... Okay, so that's... My point was that I speak with such confidence on all these topics that people would rightfully assume that I am an expert in all those things, when in fact, I may not be an expert at anything.
You're an expert in not being an expert.
I'm very good at that. I'm qualified, highly qualified in not being an expert.
And as Socrates said, the wise man knows that he knows nothing.
Ah.
Or was that Aristotle? I think it was Socrates.
Let's go with Socrates. Boy, I said that authoritatively, didn't I? Socrates. All right, so we've got today is Mother's Day, and I did talk to my mom. I didn't get to, she's out with a few of my brothers and a couple of my nieces now. They're having some pizza, so they were having a good time. And she's here. The one thing about my mom is she's very understanding. She would much rather, and I think most moms want their kids to be productive. So my mom's, when I say, oh, you know, I've got the show, she's like, oh, no, I know you can't go out on Sunday nights. I'm like, all right, cool. So she knew all about that. We'll get together later in the week. But I did get to talk to her, which was nice. And I don't know if you remember, Cody, last year I started a firestorm when I talked about how my family and I don't say I love you.
Oh, that was...
Remember that?
That was quite the debate.
It was a horrible, horrible night here. People either backed me up or were calling me all kinds of horrible things, which is basically every Sunday, and that's fine. So today, thinking about last year and thinking about the debate we had, and over the last year I've tried it a couple times, twice on the phone with my mom today as we were hanging up, I said I love you. Either she didn't hear me, which that could be, or she was so shocked that I said it, she was left speechless. Or she completely ignored it because she didn't feel the same way. I got no response. So, I'm accepting the fact that, okay, maybe you say it more. You don't just take for granted that people know it. So I said it, and I was met with a hurtful silence. Happy Mother's Day.
At least you tried.
I tried my best.
And to be fair, whenever you say I love you to me, I always say it back.
That's true. Well, you whisper it back. Very nice. I like that.
That's true.
And it's more like through tears, though. Does that count? It's like, you know, Roger says it. Roger and I said it to each other today.
Yeah.
It was an odd exchange.
Yeah.
But when we said it, yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about that.
Well, we were. It was a nice bonding moment.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
This is
getting weird. So I joked with Debbie yesterday. I kept joking with her. Well, you're not my mom. You're not my mom. Because, you know, I'm expected to, you know, I try to, you know, I always get her something for Mother's Day. Roger, you do that for your wife? Get her a little something for Mother's Day?
Yeah, I got her some beautiful yellow roses.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
That sounds nice. Did you pick them from neighbor's yard, or what'd you do?
Well, I've got a stash down the basement with some other things I grow. and then she's going out. Our daughter is coming back from Wisconsin after seeing Hall & Oates last night.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates. And
you know,
she,
I buried the hatchet with Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I know you did.
I know, that's very good. How'd she like the show?
She loved it because the story which I told Matt Bubala the other night.
Oh, boy. So we're getting Bubala's retreads?
No, it's an ongoing thing.
Cody,
because...
what's our policy of Bubala retreads on the program?
I have to check the thing.
Check my thick binder of policies.
Yeah.
Quickly.
So
go ahead.
When she was born, their hit, Sarah Smiles.
My favorite song.
Was a hit then, and of course our daughter's name is Sarah.
Right. Did you name her after the
song? No. My wife had the name already picked out. In fact, we had a name picked out, and she switched it after birth and said, no, I really want Sarah. I go, okay, fine. But it's Sarah with an H as opposed to Sarah Smile, which is no
just
H.
The A, right.
Right. So, of course, our daughter, who we knew was going to Milwaukee, but we didn't know why. Suddenly, I get a text last night.
Let me ask you this. Do you need a reason to go to Milwaukee? No.
Not really.
But go on with your story.
No, okay. So she sends me the text with a little video of them singing Sarah Smile. And I go, oh, my God. And we had just talked about that on Bubala's show, about that incident back when she was born. Very, very strange.
That is strange.
So she's on her way back today. They're going out for dinner with the grand girls.
Oh, that's nice.
Our son David is working, but he's going to take... Bridget out, I think later this week.
Somebody just texted in, Roger, this may be concerning to you as a gift giver. Yellow roses represent infidelity, especially when given as a token of affection. Google the symbolism.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's a little too deep. You know, when you've been married 40-plus years.
On that note, Cody was like, we got a break. You've just accused Roger of infidelity and wiretapping Trump Tower. A lot of accusations flying around. Let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. All right. We were talking about Mother's Day, and I hope your Mother's Day is going well if you are a mom or you fill the role of a mom. A lot of people do that, and we wish them well today, too. My wife... Every year I try to come up, you know, I try to do something nice for my wife, and that's why I asked Roger about the yellow roses. And now I looked up yellow roses, and it, a couple of things say yellow roses mean friendship, and, you know, so we're trying to...
Yeah, no.
I don't think...
And, you know, why would you then say yellow rose of Texas?
I don't know.
You're the yellow rose.
Now, here, joy, gladness, friendship, delight, promise of a new beginning, welcome back, remember me, jealousy, and eye care.
Well, so jealousy is just one thing.
Right, and, well, our texter said infidelity.
No.
You know, he said, my ex-wife gave him to me. 2 days later, I found the guy who was sleeping with my wife. That according to that same texter. I don't think we should tarnish all
just
yellow
one
roses.
One story, yeah, really. Sure. Well, I did split them up into two. Do you say vase or vase?
I say vase because I'm a commoner.
Okay. I split them up into two. So now I got
Joe
two
fancy men. Pants.
Yeah.
This is so my 2 days ago, my wife says, "You know what I want for Mother's Day?" And I know it's going to be something simple. And she's like, "I want some chocolate donuts from Weber's Bakery."
Ooh.
Weber's Bakery. If you haven't been to Weber's Bakery, it's like Harlem and Archer. And I'm not getting, Cody knows, I'm not getting paid for this. It's unbelievable stuff. And they're always voted one of the best donuts in the city because their chocolate donut is unparalleled.
Okay.
So she says, I'd like a couple chocolate donuts. I was like, all right. And I know if I waited and got up at, say, 7:30, 8 o'clock and went to the bakery, forget about it. One, I'd be waiting in line forever.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they'd probably be gone. Even though the chocolate donuts they kind of make all day because it's their staple.
Right.
So I look up and I see the Weber Bakery on Sunday opens at 5:30 in the a.m. And I decide, all right, well, I'm going to be there when they open. So last night we had a late Tony and Tina show. I get to bed about 1 o'clock. The alarm goes off at 5, and I'm like, why is the alarm going off at 5 on a Sunday? Oh, yeah, it's Mother's Day.
Oh, jeez, you forgot.
No. I had her. No, the gift was I already had her other gift.
Right.
So this was
something special.
I had left. Just taking the clothes off last night and left them right next to the bed. So mm-hmm. all I had to do was kind of roll out of bed and pull my clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
I get to Weber Bakery at 5:20 this morning. Now, you would think 5:20, that's 10 minutes before they open. There's probably nobody there.
Yeah.
No, I was the 10th person in line.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they opened at 10 minutes after I arrived, there were like 20-some people in line. It was unbelievable. But she got her donuts. She woke. She was very. So then I think, all right. Well, now I get home. It's like 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, I go back to bed. Well, now the dogs are all revved up.
Of course.
So I let the puppy out. He will not. He comes out. He eats, and then I get him outside. He will not do his business. He will not. And I'm like, you got to go because now I'm standing in the wet grass and I'm tired and I've got donuts waiting for me. And all I want to do is go back to bed. And, you know, I don't want Mother's Day to be ruined, even though it's not for me. So
right.
I end up bringing him in and letting him in bed with me. And that's worse than trying to sleep with a child because he was out of his mind.
God.
Out of his mind. All right. After the news, when your emotions sneak up on you. Unexpectedly. That can be crazy. We'll get into that in a very, very odd, hopefully we'll get to this, an odd airline statistic, all after the news, which happens in a couple minutes here on WGN. I'm trying to figure out where your music is coming from. I see it coming out. It's coming out of two pots. Potentiometers, as we call them in the business. Now I got to turn you back up. All right.
Is that what we call them?
Well, that's what the kids call them.
Potentiometers.
Potentiometers. That's why they're called pots. Did you know that?
Cody didn't know that.
Cody, Mr. Radio.
Yeah.
Hey, Roger, yep. I missed somebody else did too. Somebody texted in. Did the Sox win? What was it? Can you scroll back on your sports?
Yes, Sox did win.
Sox did win.
They went 2 out of 3 from the Padres. The score was 9-3.
Yay!
Go, Sox!
And now I can. Now I don't. I don't have to feel. Oh, I have to hide my Sox fandom. I never did anything.
No.
But yay! So that's good. Hey, I forgot about this in all the Mother's Day hoopla and wondering if Roger's flowers were a message of some sort of secret infidelity. This all got lost in the shuffle, which one, they are not. Two, we'll still go with the frivolity. Three, Cody was part of a news story on his way in, and I did not hear Roger cover this.
No, no. Well, we don't have all the details in yet.
Right. So Cody's, I get this frantic text from Cody, and I'm saying frantic because I read it with such fervor that when you texted it, basically it said, hey, my train's stuck underground. The operator, and I like that you called it an operator. I would have said conductor or, I don't know what I would have called it.
Trainman?
Train person? Because we want to be
Sultan,
correct?
Train Sultan.
I don't think Train Sultan. The CTA Pixie. I would have maybe that. the Motorman.
Oh, there you go.
The motor person. Locomotive Man. Then I would have played some Tull.
Ooh.
That's how I would have tied it in. If this were a classic rock station, we would have segued right into that and did some Jethro Tull. Then Cody's story after this, man, Tull on the big G. And then we just roll that way. But
could still happen.
Yeah, you never know. If Cody were smart, he'd be queuing up Jethro Tull right now. Cody's like, who is Jethro Tull? Wasn't that one of the guys on the Beverly Hillbillies? Different Jethro. Good try. Cody says in his text, the operator just told us all there was an emergency and to move to the front of the car. Smells like fire. Which I wish he had said smells like Teen Spirit. Then the next break, we go right into Nirvana. It's perfect programming, and yet the programmer and him did not think about it at all.
He's still shook up from what happened. He's not thinking straight.
First of all, I'm going to let him tell the story, but spoiler, there was no fire. Well, but there was something even cooler.
It was, Pelham
it was not cool.
It was pretty cool.
Taking of Pelham 123?
It was. John Travolta was on there. And then the weirdest thing, Denzel was in the subway. And Denzel saved the day because a crazy John Travolta. I don't even know where Pelham 123 is. I thought there was a New York subway train. I know it is, Roger.
I know.
Play along.
I'm playing along. Thank you.
I'm keeping a running tally of the references I don't get.
All of them.
And
the last 9 years, just today?
I'm just in the last five minutes.
All right.
And I need another sheet of paper.
All right, so what happened? You're on the train coming here, if this is true. So you're coming. No, it is true. I've seen pictures.
I tweeted pictures, so you know what happened.
The dying media of Twitter. Oh, no, Twitter's the only legitimate news. I forgot.
Is it?
That's a direct conduit from our fearless leader.
If that were true, Earth is doomed.
Earth is doomed.
Everyone is just dead.
Right, because Twitter is, well, the internet is a hive for hatred and misinformation.
Twitter's becoming the new YouTube comment section.
Yes.
And you don't want to be the YouTube, you don't want to read the comments.
You don't want to read the comments anywhere.
That's true.
That's why most newspaper online portals have shut down their comments sections. Because, well, nobody's civilized.
No.
All right, so let's get off of that and on to you and the train. So set the stage for us. What happened?
I'm taking the red line. We just passed North and Clybourne. We're on the way to, what is that, Clark and Division?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the train stops, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
The red line, sometimes they got to stop, wait for signal clearance or traffic. I don't know what they do. I don't drive trains or conduct them. I don't operate them.
All right.
But then we stop, and then the train shuts off.
Ooh.
Totally.
That's never good, especially when you're underground. That's the worst feeling, because now you're in a death tube.
Well, the lights were
not
on.
Not to be hyperbolic, but you're in a death tube.
Right. Well, the lights were still on, but the conductor, operator, Rocket Queen, whatever, whoever it was, said, passengers, there's...
Now we go right into Rocket Man.
Yeah.
That's break three.
That reference I got.
Because we got to do six songs an hour.
Wow. Packed schedule.
It is.
And he gets on and says, there's an emergency. We've come to a stop. There's a temporary delay because of an emergency. And he sounded, it wasn't like a routine.
Did
you
sound panicked?
It wasn't, a little panicked.
Like but a lot of times they'll say emergency. They don't think it's an emergency. Did he sound like he believed that, yes, in fact, this is a real emergency?
Yeah.
Okay.
And immediately, if he gets off, shuts it off, immediately my head goes to somebody's got a gun.
Right.
There was a shooting or a stabbing.
Does that lead into? Aerosmith, Janie's got a gun.
There you go. I figured Aerosmith was Aerosmith was on the train and people found out.
And went crazy. Steven Tyler's on the red line. All right, so people are, let me ask you this, because I know in my mind that people hear this. An emergency, the train is stopped, and people start to panic. What's the mood on the car?
Everyone kind of looked around at each other. We didn't have much time to process.
Figuring out who you were going to eat first if you were stranded there?
Yeah, well, you check your cell phone battery first.
Oh, right.
Because you got to be able to play music if you're going to run out of air.
Well, sure. Or you have to tweet out your last thoughts.
Yes.
Tweet out your last thoughts.
That too. But less than 5 seconds later, he gets on again and says, actually, passengers, everybody, please get up and move to the front of the car.
Whoa.
So we're all like, okay. So all the doors open. Everyone got up. It was very civil.
Was it orderly?
Very orderly.
Wow.
Very orderly. No one was panicked. Because right when we stood up, one guy or girl said, this has happened to me once before, and the last time it happened, there was a fire, so maybe there's a fire or something, which then neurologically suggested to me that I smelled fire.
So you smelled smoke.
That's why it smells like fire. That's why I texted you right away, and I said, oh, there might be a fire, because all of a
sudden... Again, underground in the death tube, you don't want fire.
Mm-hmm. It was a placebo.
Oh.
Is that right?
No.
Psychosomatic.
Yeah, a seed was planted in your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And so you began to... Orally fixate on, what's his
nasally
smell?
Fixate.
Yeah, what's the smell?
Nostrally fixate. Yeah. It's smell.
Anyway, you start to imagine you smelled smoke.
Yeah.
Right.
When there wasn't.
No. So everybody now goes to the front car. What's the situation when you get to, everybody now is in the front car. How crowded was the train?
Well, this is what I was trying to figure out. I was in the second or third car from the back, and it was probably an 8 or 9 car train.
Ooh.
We get to the front, and I'm thinking, so everyone just is going to sit in the front two cars? No. We had just gotten to Clark and Division so that the front door on the left side of the front car was open, and you could step out onto the platform.
Okay.
But every other door up until that point was just still concrete.
Oh, no.
So at the very front, and once we get to the front, everyone steps off.
Okay,
so,
okay. Everybody off the train.
So we get off. There's also a northbound Red Line train on the other side that stopped,
okay.
And that's letting all its passengers off. So there's no movement. There's just two trains stationary, and there's we look forward. It turns out at the front of the platform going southbound,
okay.
There was a guy.
Yeah.
I believe it was a male on the track, but on the outside rail. You know how there's the two rails and
yeah.
Then the outside guard rails or something?
Hey, Roger, what's the rail that holds the electricity?
The third rail.
Right. I've heard that term, but that's the outside rail. Then the far outside rail is the third rail, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I was right when I looked at your picture.
Should be the furthest away
from the platform.
Right.
Yeah, the furthest away from the platform. And that does hold the electricity?
Yeah.
That's what Roger
just told
us.
That's what powers the cars. That's,
that's what I thought. But there was a guy laying there near the front, and he had his arm wrapped around that third rail, and he wasn't moving.
Wow.
And there was a CTA employee on the actual track talking to him, and a couple, I mean, everyone's crowded on the platform looking at this guy.
Right.
There's a couple police officers there, a couple firefighters showed up, and they're all talking at this person who's...
The SWAT team was there, too.
The SWAT team ended up showing up a few minutes later.
That's excellent.
But the person was mostly unresponsive, but occasionally he'd say something or shake his head or move, so he was alive.
Okay.
I don't know if this was...
And was he gripping... Can you grip the third rail without turning into one of those cartoon skeletons that, you know, fly in the air?
Only if the electricity's off.
Well, how would they have turned the
They could have shut it.
Which
shuts off in
first?
Sections. They can shut it off in sections, but...
How
would they know
to shut it off?
Yeah. What line was it again? The red line?
Red line. This was southbound at Clark and Division.
You've got a witness here, Roger. You got to witness. You got to get on with the CTA. Find out what happened.
I know, because you see all the signs. It says, don't touch the tracker, or you'll get electrocuted to death. So I don't know how this occurred or what was exactly going on. I heard a couple snippets of what people were saying to him, and the CTA was saying. I heard somebody said something about Mother's Day, but I don't know if that related to him or the fact that there's a lot of traffic and... Kind of like a, hey, man, a lot of people are trying to see their families. You've got to let us...
Get off the tracks.
Get off the tracks.
Get off the tracks. You're screwing up our travel plans.
Yeah, somebody said something like, it's not worth it. So maybe he was a protester with a political statement, or maybe it was some kind of self-harm situation.
Oh,
so he was clearly distressed somehow, and lots of police showed up, SWAT team, a whole fire department. There were a couple fire trucks. Not the whole fire department, but...
The entire city of Chicago Fire Department? Now who's disseminating fake news?
Pretty crowded.
The cast of Chicago Fire was there.
Yeah.
The cast of Chicago PD was on hand.
Yeah.
Everybody was pitching in.
It was big.
For one guy.
The cast of Chicago, the musical showed up.
Is that right?
It became really a little more festive after that.
The band Chicago Skyped in and sang him a song?
That part I thought was weird. weird, but...
Did you? They can't get here.
Right.
What, are they going to get on a plane immediately? Gather up the whole crew? Show up? You get on your Skype.
So
you sing him a little 25 or 624, he comes off the third rail.
There's another music. There. Now we're down. Now we're up at 6.
I think we have one more song in the hour that we have to fit in.
I'm sure we'll find one.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it seemed like a dire, dramatic situation, but the firefighters...
Dire straits.
There you go.
Walk.
Sultan's
walk
a swing.
Walk of life.
Sultan's a swing.
Sultan's a swing? All right, but he's on the tracks. We want him to walk. Walk of life. Get out.
You are thematically on point today.
Boom. Boom. It's Mother's Day.
Oh, here we go. So, let's see. Red Line?
Oh. Yeah. Red Line southbound.
Yeah. Red Line trains are standing at Clark Division due to unauthorized person on the tracks.
You had the scoop here, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, 2 hours ago, and now service is back to normal.
Oh, it's back to normal.
Oh, yeah, it was back to normal back then.
It has to be. They had an
army.
Yeah,
it was very quick.
Yeah, they had an army. Well, sure, at some point you just shoot them and drag them off the tracks, don't you?
Yeah, unauthorized person.
Don't do that. That's a deer on the track.
wait, does that happen?
A deer on the tracks?
No, there's never been a deer on the tracks that I know of.
What about a dead skunk in the middle of the road?
Dead skunk. Mark that down, Cody.
There's a reference.
Another
you
one.
Do not get.
Another musical reference. Thank you. Nothing. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
No,
they
at some point you just go out there with, you know, one of those big meat hooks, and you just grab them like a side of beef and drag them off the tracks.
Yeah.
You can't allow an entire city to be shut down for one guy. Then you get him treatment for whatever his problem is. You figure it out. But, you know, come on. Get off the tracks. That's why I
hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay, too.
Everything's fine.
No, I hope he's okay, too.
But a bunch of, probably 8 or 10 firefighters ran downstairs carrying a ladder, and it looked like they were going to set up a small building.
If God forbid he had been deceased, they probably would have put up things around the scene so that people couldn't gawk in.
And they didn't do that, so I think that they were just trying to remove him physically. I don't know exactly what the scene... Again,
wow.
But the thing was, the whole platform, the entire way, I guess it would have been north, or whatever direction I was coming from.
Coming from the north.
Right. So,
heading south.
So north of this guy in the whole scene, everyone on the platform is leaning way over.
Like and, potentially falling in.
Right, you're creating...
falling in. Well, thankfully... There were enough emergency personnel there that if, in fact, 6, 10, 15 people had fallen off the platform, they could have just swept them up pretty quickly.
Right, but I leaned over to just lean my arm
out. Because you needed some pictures.
Because
you're a journalist.
Well, because I needed proof that I had a good reason to be late.
Right, because normally Cody's excuses that why he's late range anything from, hey, there was a stiff breeze, to, oh, I saw a cat. Not really good excuses. Excuses you'd expect from a 3-year-old.
Well, no, I had to defeat the Tonberry King in the Wandering Palace on hard mode with my Thaumaturge because I had to gain another Black Mage level today.
See, and at about the third word into that excuse, he knows that I've toned out. I'm completely lost, and so he just figures, well, I told him. Now I can come in whenever. 6:10,
well,
doesn't matter.
Fake Twitter news. Why do you want to believe what he writes?
Everything on the internet is real.
Real stupid.
That's all. So, well, we're glad you're okay. We hope this guy is okay. We're glad the Red Line is back up and running because we don't want any, you know, huge...
This is a big city to stand still. You got to keep it
for
moving.
For one guy. Again, for one guy.
On the Red Line on Mother's Day, people want to see their families. Yeah. Some people had to get to work,
I'd
myself
say the brown
included.
Line and the pink
some
line.
Some people might be trying to get away from their families. Have
could
you ever
be.
Considered that?
Could be. There's some people who are just hiding out from their families, and they do it on the underground death tube that Cody calls the Red Line. Whatever moniker you want to apply to it, that's fine. I don't care.
Some people had to get to their computers to play Final Fantasy XIV while they do the North American server relocations for the next 48 hours.
Of course,
got to get their playtime in on Sunday before they...
Now, are you panicked about all these the threats that tomorrow there may be new hacking? Does the gamer community worry about that, or is the gamer community responsible for this?
Ooh, good question. That sounds like a good tease.
That is a tease. I'm not going to get into it at all. We are going It is a good tease on somebody else's program.
Mm.
Feel free to set it out. Maybe John or Bill and Wendy or somebody will do that tomorrow. Are gamers nervous about potential hacking? I don't care.
Wow.
I'm going to stand by that statement. Yeah, I don't care. I figure the amount of security updates we've had to do just here in the last 3 weeks explain why my computer upstairs runs like it's got molasses instead of a motherboard. Because I have a feeling now there's so much security stuff on these computers that nothing else can get through. I want to go to Google. Sorry, we don't Google anymore. That's not safe for work. NSFW. Cannot handle it. All right, let's do this. And then I had something awesome planned. Awesome.
Yeah, so you want to stick everything around. You do is awesome.
Stop it. You want to stick around and find out if I can remember what that is. Maybe we'll get to it after this on WGN. Perhaps you were stranded as Cody was by the person who was on the tracks. You wanted to add something to your saga?
Yeah, so I get off at Clark and Division, and I was going to take an Uber here to get to the here to prep the show. It was over $13 to take an
what?
Uber from Clark and Division to 435 North Michigan. That's got to be less than a mile. Maybe just over a mile.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, because of Mother's Day,
what?
They must make bank. Because you probably got a lot lower supply.
Everything is surge pricing.
We've got lower supply.
Well, yeah, you probably have fewer drivers. That's true.
So, yeah, if you're counting on a rideshare platform this evening, maybe factor that into your budget.
Ugh, good luck with that. Good luck. All right. I'm going to give you a choice, Cody, because we're...
It's about time.
We're running out of time.
Actually. Are we?
Again, because after 7 o'clock, we're going to do an edition of the arcade. Moms only. A mom's only edition of the Sunday Night Arcade here on WGN. So once you hear Roger start the news, 312-981-7200, get in the first, I'll give you another choice. What callers do you want?
3 and 9.
Callers 3 and caller 9. Caller 3 and caller 9, 312-981-7200. After Roger starts the news, if you call now, we're going to pick up the phone and mock you endlessly because you can't follow directions.
Wait, what number did you say? I wasn't listening.
3 and 9.
No.
312-981.
No. 312-5917.
Are you sure?
That's the contest line.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't see it anywhere up here.
I see it.
Where? Well, 5917,000, that's the one we're using for the game?
That's the contest line, isn't it?
Yeah, but I always thought we just used the regular number.
We have used the regular number.
What number do you want people to call?
The contest line.
5917,000. All right. 312-591-7000. I guarantee you we'll get as many calls on the regular number as... Because I don't think anybody uses the contest line anymore.
Yeah, all right.
This is not Top 40. I'm not giving away Bee Gees tickets in 1978.
You know what? Let's just do 981-7200.
Yeah, you can call us 3 and caller 9, 312-981-7200.
I'm sorry for throwing everyone for a loop. And
this
now
whole
killed,
show is ruined.
Now I killed all the time that we had to even... And look, the first call we get is 5917,000. We've ruined... But you said after the news starts.
After the news. Pick that up and mock that person.
It doesn't matter. We got like 30 seconds before the news.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, here. All right, here, they don't do this. Just do this one. I've got so many things to talk about. I'll do... No, one in 10 travelers has sex at an airport, according to a survey.
You've said this before, and where?
I'm going to tell you. One in 10 air travelers report having had some sort of sex at the airport. And I'm flying out in a couple weeks, so this is very exciting news for me. Compared with about 8% who are members of the Mile High Club. Those who have had some sort of quote-unquote sexual encounter, 42% reported it took place in a public restroom. That is horrific. That is the young lady out there waving. She's saying she's one of the 10%. Good for you, ma'am. I don't believe it, but good for you. 14% said under a coat, and 28% got busy in a storage cupboard. How do you get into a storage cupboard at the airport? And how do you convince somebody to come in there with you? Hey, you want to, do it by the bleach? Sure, that'd be fun. Let's see. 3/4 of those who responded to this survey said they had a lot of free time in the airport, so that's why it happened. Man, oh, man. All right, if you're flying anytime soon, keep your pants on, all right?
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Oh my goodness. It has been way too long since we have heard the opening salvo of what used to be known as the Overnight Arcade, as the kids say back in the day. Now it's the Sunday Night Arcade. Every once in a while, we open the doors to the arcade and let you stumble in and see what kind of mayhem and intrigue we can create. The Sunday Night Arcade, a special Mother's Day edition tonight. At one time, This was billed as the most popular radio quiz show in America. I'm going to stick with that. It still is. Because, would you agree, Cody, people still say, oh, what about the arcade? When's the arcade going to open up again? Still, in its absence, people want to play the game.
All the time. Everybody wants to play the game. Some people hate the player, and I tell them to hate the game.
Well, see, I tell them hate the player, not the game.
Oh.
Because the game is the game. It's the players that you can... If I had a dollar for every time Frankenstein Trivia still gets mentioned...
Oh, God.
I would have $10. I'd buy us all a cup of coffee. One cup of coffee, we'd all share it.
I'd have more money than that. I get a lot of mentions on the phone here.
It amazes me. But that's in the past. We don't live in the past. We live in the now. We live in the, hey, it's May, February? It's May. It's May 14th, 2017. It's Mother's Day. You're shaking your head at me like, yeah, did you really not know what month it was? No, I misspoke. That's all right. Don't worry, I'm not... Cody panicked, Roger. He thought I was having a seizure or something. He was like, uh-oh.
I did too.
He doesn't even know what month it is. See, this is what happens when you are allowed to do something like run the country and you are completely unqualified to do it. But I'm more than qualified to do this. You know what else I'm qualified to do? Meet the players. Because if you did not get through as a mom to play along with us at home, or play along with us on the air, then, you know, grab your family. Do something. Go out. Rustle up somebody to play with. Because... as always, during the Sunday Night Arcade, at-home wagering, not only encouraged, but expected. Our first player today is Lori, and she is on the road, hopefully not literally. You're probably in a car. Would that be correct, Lori?
I am playing in my car.
You're playing in your car. Ooh. Now, you're not driving while you're playing, are you?
I actually am.
You are? All right, well, listen, be very careful. I can't condone playing the arcade while driving, but I'm not going to penalize you for it. It is Mother's Day. Are you a mom, Lori?
I am a mother.
How many children do you have?
I have one.
One.
One son.
One son. Is he young? Is he old?
22.
22. Okay, very good. Congratulations. You have a 22-year-old son, and what do you do for a living, Lori?
I am in credit. For a major food service distributor.
Oh, very nice. You sound very cryptic. Is this all top secret information, Lori? You don't like divulging?
It's U.S. Foods. I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, we are going to we'll introduce you to your opponent right now. This is Pam, and she is in Evanston. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Lori. Thank you very much.
Look at the ladies, Cody. The ladies very cordial to each other now because the game has not started. We'll see if this turns into some sort of rancor or animosity in just a few minutes. Pam, how many children do you have?
I have three children, boy, girl, boy, and they are 27, 25, 23.
Wow, very nice. Well, happy Mother's Day to you. And what do you do, Pam?
I'm a school nurse.
A school nurse? Elementary school?
K through 8.
All right, so that'd be elementary school. That's kids. Yeah. A lot of kids just like Band-Aids, don't they, in the primary grades? Kindergarten, first grade, they always want a Band-Aid for something.
Yes, they do. That is a Band-Aid heals all ills at that age.
There's also a thing that I'm noticing now, a lot of ice packs, but they're just basically sponges in cold water. Do you give out a lot of those?
Nope, we're very stingy with our ice.
See,
we only use ice when it's indicated.
Okay, see, the school district I sub in, they had a lot of the frozen sponges. The kids come up with a Ziploc bag with a little frozen sponge in there, and I'm like, what happened? Oh, I breathed on my leg, and now I need an ice pack.
Yeah, yep.
A lot of hogwash, that's what I say. All right, ladies.
I agree.
Listen, I'm glad you're here. We're playing for wonderful prizes. I don't know what they are, but Cody tells me they're wonderful. And I know I do know what they are. So here's the thing. It's Mother's Day trivia. So as you can imagine, all the questions are somehow mother-centered. So every answer will contain some form of the word mother, whether it's mom, mother, mommy, ma, mamacita, something. There will be some form of the word mother in the answer. Everybody clear on this?
Mother.
Yes.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to flip it. We're going to see who goes first. Lori wins the toss. So, Lori, you will go first. First one to five correct answers, or whoever is leading when our time runs out, will be the winner. Ladies, are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
All
bring it
right.
On.
Here we go. Very exciting. First question goes to Lori. Lori, it is a multiple choice question. This is very exciting. I like the multiple choice questions. This 1976 film starred Bill Cosby, Raquel Welch, and Harvey Keitel as wild ambulance drivers. Was this movie Mother Loves Ambulance Company, Healthy Mothers, Mother Jugs and Speed, or Two Dads and a Hot Mommy? Do you need those options again?
I'm going to go with A because I don't know it.
You're going to go with Mother Loves Ambulance Company?
Sure.
Oh, no, that is incorrect.
I'm sorry.
That's well, who's helping you, Lori?
No one's helping me.
Okay. Pam, that means you get a chance to steal this one. This 1976 film starred Bill Cosby, Raquel Welch, and Harvey Keitel as wild ambulance drivers. Was this movie Mother Loves Ambulance Company, Healthy Mothers, Mother Jugs and Speed, or Two Dads and a Hot Mommy?
I'm going to go with Mother Jugs and Speed.
Yes, Mother Jugs and Speed is correct. That puts you on the board. Pam is there. Now, we're not done with the round. I know Roger's keeping score, and he gets very excited to be the scorekeeper, so he wanted to jump in. But we stay with Pam, because Pam won that one on a steal, and now we go back to Pam with this one. Pam, this nursery rhyme character, quote, went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone.
How about Old Mother Hubbard?
Old Mother Hubbard. Who's helping you, Pam?
Nobody. So, that was my own brain.
Your own brain talks out loud?
But my husband is driving.
Okay, that's I was getting. Right, we heard another voice. Am I right, Cody? There's another voice. Somebody.
That was my. I think I must have been talking to myself.
That's okay. Listen, that's fine. You are Roger. That ends round one of. I don't know how many people are playing this game, but it's okay. The more, the merrier. I say whatever.
I'm in my car alone.
Oh Lord! Now see, now it's going to come out. Now Lord, you see, I'm in my car alone and I'm playing alone, and Pam's got somebody with. So, Roger, what's the score at the end of round one?
At the end of round one, Pam leads over Lori by a score of 2-0.
All right, here we go. Lori, we're back to you. You ready?
Ready.
Ready. This woman was nominated for sainthood for her work with the homeless in Calcutta.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa is correct. Lori on the board. Very nicely done, Lori. Okay, we come back to Pam. Pam, here we go. This 60s pop group lamented during a California dream that, quote, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray.
Oh, all the leaves are brown. Oh, wait, hold on. Repeat the question.
Wait now, she's getting help.
I know she's getting. Yeah, look, Pam, you got to do it yourself. Tell your husband to zip it.
Oh, I do.
Tell him to zip it.
Sorry, I thought that you said that you could talk to people.
No, okay. This is not. I'm not Regis. There's
okay.
No lifelines.
Speaker. Okay, so could you give me the question?
Yes, I'll give you the question again. All right, Pam, are you or Lori? Are you satisfied that she's off the speaker?
I'm not on speaker. My husband cannot hear the question.
I'm just messing around. I don't.
No.
Cody, this could turn into some sort of horrible thing. All right, here we go. Here's your question. Pam, here's your question again. This 60s pop group lamented during a California dream that all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray.
I'm going to say Mama, it's Mama Cass. Mama, are you looking for the singer?
I'm looking for the group, this 60s pop group.
Was there a group, Mama Cass Elliott or something, or Mama Cass...
I can't tell you that.
I'll take this one.
Hold on. We got to get 5 seconds. 5 seconds, Pam.
How about Mamas and the Papas?
Mamas and the Papas.
Mamas and the Papas.
Very nice. That is correct.
Did I get it?
You did get it. That is correct.
Is that Cass Elliott?
Cass Elliott is the singer, Mama Cass Elliott.
Okay.
The group was the Mamas and the Papas. Roger, I believe this is the end of a round. Quite frankly, I've lost track of who's playing, how many questions we've asked, and what round we're in. But, Roger, I know you have kept track.
Yes, I am on top of it. And the official tally after two rounds, Pam 3, Lori 1.
All right, Lori, you can get it a little closer with this question. Here we go. Are you ready, Lori?
Ready.
All right. This smash Broadway musical is based on the music of ABBA and was released as a movie starring Meryl Streep.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Yes. Lori on the board. I will say this about that musical. Biggest waste of my time in the history of me wasting time. Horrifying. Despised it worse than a root canal. But that's not why you're here. You're here to play the game. So let's move on to Pam. Pam... According to the chiffon margarine commercials, it's not nice to perpetrate what kind of fraud and do what? It's not nice to what?
Well, I was going to say it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
That is correct. That is absolutely right, Pam. It is not nice to fool Mother Nature. We just made the question unnecessarily wordy. It is not nice to fool Mother Nature. Roger, that ends another round.
At the end of three rounds, the score now, Pam 4, Lori 2.
All right, here we go. And we are back to Lori. Lori, you could, keep it close. This group of concerned citizens was created to stop drunk driving, support victims, and prevent underage drinking.
Bad. Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Lori with 3. Very nice, Lori. Keeping it close. All right, Pam, we come to you. You have 4. If you get this right, you know what that means.
Yes.
Yes, you and your husband will win. But if not, Lori will get a chance to, I'm teasing, Lori will get a chance to steal and tie up the game. It couldn't be more exciting than it is right this moment. All right, here we go. Are you ready, Pam?
I am ready. Thank
you. For the win. This woman was a legendary public enemy and was rumored to be the leader of her gang of criminal sons during the Depression.
Oh.
This woman was a legendary public enemy and was rumored to be the leader of her gang of criminal sons during the Depression.
I don't know.
Oh, no. That means Lori gets a chance to steal to tie the game. Lori, I'll repeat the question because that's what I do. This woman was a legendary public enemy and was rumored to be the leader of her gang of criminal sons during the Depression. Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, it's Ma Barker, ladies. Ma Barker.
That's right.
Ma Barker. Roger, that ends a round on a crazy note.
Yeah. nobody won a point on that last question.
Right.
And so. Right now, after 4 rounds, the score is Pam, 4 points. And Lori with 3 points.
All right, well, Lori, you can tie it up right now. This waterfowl-labeled author's books are on top of the hot list for children.
Mother Goose.
Mother Goose. Tying it up. Look at that. I was wrong, Cody. I thought it couldn't get more exciting than the last minute. Now it's more exciting because Pam could win. But
oh my gosh,
if she screws it up, then Lori could steal and win. I have created a Mother's Day conundrum that only I can solve by asking the next question. And, Pam, it is a multiple-choice question.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
For the win. In the 1949 movie White Heat, James Cagney's character, mobster Cody Jarrett, made this proclamation as he met his fiery end. Did he scream, "I love you, Ma"? "See what you made me do, Ma"? "Top of the world, Ma"? Or "See you in hell, Ma"?
Since I really don't know, I'm going to go with D, "See you in hell, Ma."
Oh, that is incorrect. Opening the door for Lori to steal and win the game. It could be the Mother's Day comeback of the century. Lori, do you want me to repeat the question?
I don't know either, but I'm going to do the "See what you made me do, Ma."
No, ladies. "Top of the world, Ma." Top of the world, Ma. We got to wrap this up. Okay, last one. Let me see if I can find one, Cody, that I think one of the ladies will get right away. Oh, my goodness.
We're going into round 6. The score is still tied.
All right, Lori.
4-4.
This female figure is used to represent the life-giving and nurturing effects of nature. Who is she?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
This female figure is used to represent the life-giving and nurturing effects of nature. Who is she?
Mom.
Oh, no. Pam, you can steal and win. This female figure is used to represent the life-giving and nurturing effects of nature. Who is she? It's right in the clue.
Mother Nature. Could you repeat it?
Who said Mother Nature?
Lori did.
All right, listen. Cody's giving me the look. Cody's like, "Hey, man, we are out of time. We are so done. You must wrap this up. We got to be finished. So we're going to have to call it. We're going to have to call it. And, you know what?
They've both been great contestants. I know, they've both been
wonderful. Cody, how do you want to, you're the judge, how do you want to do this?
Well, I thought Lori got the last one.
Lori got the last one.
Roger's the scorekeeper, though.
But she had guessed wrong.
She had guessed wrong.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, here's what I'm going to do, ladies. Here's what I'm going to do. Because it didn't, Pam, be honest, you didn't know that one either.
No, I didn't
know. All right, you didn't know that. All right, here we go.
I wanted you to repeat the question. I don't want to try to.
Right. Well, it was Mother Nature was the answer, but here's what I'm going to do. Because it's all tied up. And I want to leave on a good note because it's Mother's Day. I'm going to do one question. Toss up. Yell your name before you answer. All right? So, Pam, if you think you know it, yell Pam. Lori, if you think you know it, yell Lori. All right? Whoever gets this one will be the winner. Okay? So, this is a multiple choice question. Remember, yell your name first. And then I will call on you and you give me the answer. This title is reserved for a widowed queen consort whose son or daughter is the reigning monarch. Is it?
Pam.
Pam.
Mary.
Pam, go ahead.
Queen Mother.
I didn't even have to give the clues. Pam got it. Pam. Roger, give the official score.
The official score after the tiebreaker is Pam 5, Lori 4.
Congratulations, ladies. Cody, can you tell them what
they
won? We are way behind.
Absolutely. Pam, you have won a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Disney's Mary Poppins, now playing through May 28th at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. You can bring the whole family and spend a jolly holiday with Mary Poppins and an irresistible cast of characters. Tickets are available at mercurytheaterchicago.com or call 773-325-1700. But, Lori, you don't go away empty-handed.
Nope.
You have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep-dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or order online at loumalnatis.com.
All right, ladies, congratulations.
Thank you for playing. Happy Mother's Day, Lori.
Happy Mother's Day, Pam.
Happy Mother's Day, ladies. All right, we got to do this. We are so far behind. I'm in trouble. You know I am not a big self-congratulatory guy, right? Cody and I have had this discussion many times. I don't like putting on callers. Like, sometimes people will call and they just want to compliment us, and I tell Cody I don't want to take those calls because I don't want to seem like I'm like, you know, oh, look how great I am, whatever. But this weekend's a pretty big weekend for us here at the program. It was my 11th anniversary here at WGN. Mother's Day morning, 2006, was the first time I was on the air. That was what started it all, the first Saturday overnight show. I had a partner at that time, Cody. Can you imagine me working with a partner?
No.
Crazy. I can't either. But Laura Hirsch was my partner for 6 months. Then she wised up and took off. And then it's been just me. So 11 years, a lot of crazy ups and downs here at the station. But I'm still very thrilled every time I walk in here, every time I get to crack the mic at WGN. Get to work with great people. I've worked with Cody for 9 years. I had wonderful producers, Christy and Lindsay, and all sorts of things. Wonderful newsmen, Roger, Christopher Michael, all the other people who've worked with us. The engineering staff has all been great. So it has been a lot of fun being here. And especially now that really nobody knows we're here, mm-hmm. The rest of the station. We're kind of in a bubble. You know, I think they know theoretically, because on the schedule our name is there. You know, Brian Noonan, it's right there. But I don't think they pay much attention, which is fine with us. Because we just operate in our own little bubble. But most of all, I thank all the people who help me with the show and who make the show what it is, because I do believe that having Cody and Roger and everybody from the past here helps me make the show what I want it to be and what thankfully you want to listen to. So the biggest thanks goes to you for keeping me around for 11 years, really. I know some of you are like, I can't believe you made it 11 minutes. Ha-ha! Neither can I, but I did. So thank you for always being there and listening no matter where we were in the schedule. Because it was just Saturday overnights, then it was Friday, Saturday overnights, then it was Friday, Saturday overnights and fill-ins, then it was almost nothing. We escaped one of the old regimes by a week. They were fired a week before I was supposed to get fired.
Really?
Yep, I learned that after. But then, after that regime was gone, then I ended up on Sports Night. And that went for a few years, and that was a lot of fun. And then Sports Night was canceled. I took my little hiatus and stayed on Sunday, and Now I'm here Sundays and get to fill in for Ro and Anna when they're not here, which is great. And I'm in for Nick next week. And so, you know, it's been a lot of craziness as we've been here doing what we do.
It's a crazy business.
It is a crazy business, but to be here this long is an honor and a privilege. And there you go. There's my big self-congratulatory moment. And Roger gave me some comic books today as an anniversary present.
Ooh,
yeah, to commemorate my anniversary. So thank you for that, Roger.
Those You're very nice. Welcome.
Some vintage Captain America comics, yeah. Cody.
With as a little, you know, Iron Man thrown in there?
Yeah, you know I'm a fan of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing. And now you've been here 9 years.
Eight and a half. Is that right?
Did you get a watch? For being here 8.5 years, did you get management send you the bouquet? The edible arrangement that they usually send people on their anniversaries?
I'm surprised they still pay me.
Well.
You kidding? Did you actually get something?
No, are you crazy?
They don't give us stuff.
I get disdain.
Disdain.
That's what I get. No, I didn't get anything from management to celebrate my anniversary.
Yeah.
That's all right. Listen, they let me keep my job. That's celebration enough. I'm sure that would be the justification. Hey, we let you keep working here. Fair enough. I'm good. Now, so you can pick. You want an edible arrangement or you want to keep your job? I don't know. Those strawberries are pretty good.
It depends on the day. And I've been with you about 10 and a half years.
Yeah, because once I came to Friday, because you were doing the Friday overnight.
Yeah, Friday overnight.
Christopher was on the Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you call it Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. I call it night. Just like next weekend, I'm in for Nick. They said, hey, can you do Nick's show Thursday and Friday? I was like, do you mean Wednesday night and Thursday night? And they were like, they said, well, technically, I didn't know. I'm coming in when it's dark and I'm leaving when it's dark.
Yeah.
That's nighttime.
Yeah.
So is it Wednesday and Thursday? Yes, it's Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
Because Nick, of course, he's getting honored on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
So he's not going to stay up doing his show till 5 a.m.
No.
And then have to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to make a speech.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to fill in for Nick while he receives this great honor. So he'll be doing that next week, and I'll be in for him for two nights. So that'll be a lot of fun. So anyway, that's it. So thank you, Roger. Thank you, Cody. Thanks to all the people who have worked with me in the past. But most of all, thank you for listening and putting up with crazy things that we think are going to be hilarious, like this next segment, which we like to call... Plus, I get to play another song from a band that Cody has no clue about. The Electric Light Orchestra, recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. ELO. So, yes, you know, everybody, oh, let's focus on mothers and how wonderful everything is. Well, these are stories of evil women on Mother's Day. Some of them are really horrible, so I don't know if I don't know how many of them will do, because I don't really want to ruin Mother's Day for everybody. But there's some... You usually think about guys doing real horrible things, but let's be honest, ladies. You can be almost just as horrible. Let's start with a local one, because this is kind of silly. An 18-year-old woman was arrested this morning after she deliberately ran over her hairdresser 7 times with her car. Yeah. Cody's eyes shot open on that one. According to the Chicago Police Department, Cassandra Gilmore of Oak Lawn had her hair cut this morning at Luigi's Beauty Palace in downtown Chicago. I'm not familiar with that. Is that where you get yours done, Roger?
Yes, actually, I got an appointment tomorrow afternoon.
They just pull out the buffer, do the top?
Yeah, well, there's not that much.
Shine it up, that's right.
Yeah.
Just keep it nice.
Yeah.
But she got it done at Luigi's Beauty Palace by the famous stylist Francesco Moreno.
Ooh, he's not my regular.
He's not your guy?
Nah.
Cody,
I got
like
George in the back room.
Do you go to a famous stylist, Cody?
Nah.
Or do you just put your finger in an outlet?
No, stylists become famous after they work on this dome.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Famous as in their picture is in all the beauty colleges, do not hire this man?
Yeah.
All right.
No, I thought it was up in the post office on the wall with the...
That's a different thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, after seeing the results in a mirror, she suddenly became hysterical and tried to assault Mr. Marino with a curling iron. Then I guess she found him outside... Red outside, you read them over a couple.
Those things are dangerous.
Horrible. Horrible. There's evil woman number one.
Somebody's got to go after her with a flat iron to set her straight.
Ooh.
Oh. I'll give him that. I'll give him that. Was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Once in a while.
Cody pops one off once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's one for Nick D's Out of Context, since I'll be running it next week.
Are you setting up your own chart?
I want to get on. I know his spies are listening.
Well, that sure is a zinger in the pants.
Don't be so thirsty.
I'm giving you material.
As the kids say, don't be so thirsty.
I'm giving you out of context. I'm producing for your fill-in shifts. That's how much producing I'm doing.
I wish you would produce for the regular shift.
Why start now?
The fill-in should you. We'll worry about that later.
Eight and a half years. Why start now, Brian?
why ruin a good thing? Woman ripped up Mother's Day card, beat a six-year-old son. That doesn't sound good. This is another evil woman. I know, they're not going to be funny. We're not, we're just saying.
That one's not funny.
This is not funny. An upstate woman, this is New York, or Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina. An upstate woman is facing a child cruelty charge after an incident involving a Mother's Day card. Spartanburg police, what happened?
Move those teeth.
Were called to a disturbance. Police say when they arrived at the scene, a grandmother was standing with her two grandchildren, one of which was crying. The woman told officers her daughter, the boy's mother, had slapped him multiple times because the sister told the police that the mom was upset because the victim made a Mother's Day card for his grandmother and not for her. It doesn't sound like this woman deserves a Mother's Day card. Because you got to figure this is not the first time she's done something stupid like that. Well, thankfully, she was arrested. The boy is okay, so that's good news. So she was arrested and charged with cruelty to children.
Wow.
All right, one more. I can't.
That's depressing.
It is depressing. Ugh. That's not good. That's not good. All right, we'll do this one more, just because I was tempted to do this once. Floyd Girl Scout leader stole $15,000 in cookies.
What?
I was not really tempted to do it, but the opportunity was there. A Floyd County woman, this is from the Appalachian News Express, which we know is the bastion of real news. A Floyd County woman was indicted by a Pike grand jury this week on charges she stole more than $15,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. So that's about six boxes. At the current rate, Girl Scout cookies are expensive. They are expensive.
It's just six boxes.
Wow. According to Pike Commonwealth's attorney, Leanne Vick, who was a troop leader for the Wilderness Road chapter of the Girl Scouts, is responsible for a theft of cookies of a value of more than $15,000. She was indicted on a charge of felony theft by unlawful taking. That sounds like a made-up thing. Like if you were in grade school pretending you were a judge. Felony theft of unlawful taking. That's what you're charged with. That means over $10,000, but under $100,000.
And it's
under
$1 million. Felony and unlawful. It's the same thing.
Well, no, it's felony theft by unlawful taking. If I lawfully take it, that's
called
taxes.
Oh, so it's a double unlawful. Well, felony theft is one.
Right, so they cancel each other out, so she should have walked away
from
this
whole thing. See?
Double negative.
Jeez.
She's out. According to the indictment, she picked up a load of cookies, which is not a euphemism. She picked up a load of cookies on February 1st. She said the cookies are picked up by leaders and given to Girl Scouts, which is true. She has never paid for any of them, they said, and anyone who has tried to contact her about them has not been able to contact her. So she's like Smokey and the Banditing a big truckload of cookies somewhere else. Then she got nabbed by the man. So now she won't pay the price.
Would you say?
Yeah, she got pinched by the cookies. She's had several different addresses. So
really?
Yeah, she's on the lam. She got a truckload of Thin Mints, and she's not. I'm not going down without a fight. You're never going to take me alive, copper. And then she's jamming Samoas into her mouth. Like Cookie Monster on the run. A felony Cookie Monster. All right. Cody, hit the theme music for this wonderful piece of depressing bit. Oh, the most depressing bit for Mother's Day, but it's Evil Woman. All right, on the other side, my emotions ran amok yesterday. We'll wrap up with that. Maybe that's a sad story, too. But it shows my soft side. We'll let Cody produce. We'll decide. I've got it all planned out. Don't worry about it, folks. We'll get to it in a minute. You know Star Wars, the movies, the franchise, mm-hmm. One of the biggest cultural phenomenons?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, it is serving as an inspiration to parents on the hunt for baby names. Those parents have opted for a villain's name. Any guess on what the fastest-growing boy's name in the U.S. is now? Roger has his hand up.
I have my hand up.
Have you read the story?
Yes, I do.
Oh, all right. Well, you can...
What's his... Kylo?
Kylo.
Yeah. K-Y-L-O.
Kylo is the fastest for Kylo Ren.
He killed his father.
Is that right? He's a villain. Yeah, it's Kylo Ren. Cody, you look disgusted.
Yeah.
So am I. If you name your kid Kylo... You better hope that kid comes back with a lightsaber and just lops your head off. And you would deserve it. You would deserve the force to go dark. The disturbance. That's horrifying. The Social Security Administration has released its annual list and jumping 2,368 spots to number 901 is Kylo. the character played by Adam Driver, it ended at in the spot 3,269 in 2015. So it's jumped up that many spots. That means that many, and granted, it's still the 901st most popular name. But the fact that it's even on the list is troublesome to me.
Well, it broke 1,000. That's big time right there.
Yeah, the top 1,000 names.
Yeah.
It should be on anybody. This is what I don't understand. Because this, you know, naming your child is a huge responsibility.
Big responsibility.
Huge. Yeah. And if you give them some sort of wackadoodle name because you think it's cool and it's fine until they get to school, you know, oh, you know my son Kylo, when you're a hipster with the beard and the flannel and the turned up jeans and you're drinking coffee and you're, you know, just pushing your child in some European stroller that costs thousands of dollars. Oh, do you know my son Kylo? He already likes IPAs and hates mass-produced beers. Your kid's like 6 months. I know, but he knows. He knows already. Now, come listen to this obscure band as they play the theremin. What? No, that's what we're into now. Craft beer and theremin. Actually, it's not even craft beer anymore. That's so passe. We drink craft water. Mm. Craft water and theremin. It's squeezed from the juice of old water.
Yeah.
But it's made new.
What the worst thing to me is the list of names that have one spelling is whittling to barely anything.
Yes.
Even Brian, you can spell with a Y.
Right.
Cody, you can spell with an I, which, why would you do that? But it happens. Roger, I think, is still safe. No. R-O-D-G-E-R.
Yeah, Roger, you can spell
I always get a D thrown in there, and it's not.
It makes him very angry.
Yeah,
I've seen him actually. I've seen him actually, and I'm not exaggerating, throw a little hissy.
Yes.
Does it sound like Rodger?
It's not Rodger.
See?
But I was fired up.
Actually, I get sometimes on the phone when they ask you, how do you spell your name? And I spell it R-O-G-A, and they still say, Robert? I go, no, it's not Robert. It's my cousin.
Okay.
I have nothing against the name
Robert. Name Robert is fine.
See, yeah. I'm not.
Robert, you can really only spell one way.
What, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you throw an extra B in there.
No.
Or a double T.
Yeah, no one really
does. Just to be Rob Edit. All right, this is going to be, speaking of ways to spell it, how would you spell Kaylani? Because that's the fastest growing girl's name.
Kaylani?
Kaylani.
K-A-Y-L-A.
Wrong.
Oh.
Wrong.
K-A-Y would have.
That is incorrect.
Is it a
I'm just going to keep pressing the screen button.
Oh, God.
It's going to make me crazy. Kaylani, no.
Kaylani.
Maybe I'm mispronouncing it.
K-dash.
No, that's good. Mm. Close, no. There's no apostrophe either. So if you were going to go with an apostrophe, that's not it.
Oh, K-A-A?
No. Oh, that would be
Kaylani.
Nope. Now, I'll give you a hint. Experts believe this is due to the American singer-songwriter.
What American singer-songwriter? Yeah,
right. Kaylani, obviously.
Who is Kaylani?
Oh, who is Kaylani?
I don't know who this
person is. That's a text person. That's our big Twitter poll. Who is Kaylani?
I'm not Twitter polling that.
No, we can't Twitter poll
who
that.
Is
we're
Johnny?
Being
no, Kaylani.
We okay. Run out of Twitter. K-E-H-L-A-N-I.
Why?
I don't know.
Because we like you. I'm sorry, never mind.
Wow. Listen, if I ever have kids, one of my things is I want them to have a name that's not really, really hard to spell and will always be misspelled.
Right.
That is the last one on my list.
I go into classrooms and, you know, I have to take attendance in the morning. And so now I've started, even with kindergartners, apologizing up front. I said, if I have mispronounced your name, I'm not doing it intentionally. Please correct me because I don't want to spell your name wrong. And I will, not exaggerating, at least three in every class, I'll look at it and I'll go, Buster. Because there's letters and consonants and vowels all strung together in ways I have never seen. Or it looks like it should be pronounced one way. Like this would, I would say Kaylani. But then someone would say, no, it's Kelani.
Ooh.
I go, what? Kelani? So if you're naming your child Kylo, or anything like that, you need to step away for a minute. Just leave your child in the bassinet for a couple hours. Let the nurse help you out.
Yeah, let the drugs wear off.
Yeah,
right.
Ask the nurses for suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Go, hey, you've seen a lot of babies born in here. You ever heard one named Onomatopoeia? No, can't say I have.
Esperanza.
All right, well, Esperanza. Well, that, no, I have
that's
seen
the whole language right there.
Right, but yeah, that we don't do. All right, we got to do this. Cody's yelling at me. Karen Cotty after the news, WGN. How are you?
Good, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. A lot of stuff in the legal world this week. A very exciting week. And I teased this before you came in. We have a follow-up to one of last week's more interesting questions, too. So where to start? Real quickly, this is something I asked you if we could start with, because it's a term that we've all heard if we've watched any sort of TV shows or follow any court cases, and it's been used a lot this week after the president, during an interview with Lester Holt, said that part of the firing of Comey was he thought about the Russian investigation. And that came out of the president's mouth, and people immediately jumped on, well, that should constitute obstruction of justice. What exactly is obstruction of justice?
You know, it's kind of an amorphous term in my view, because we have specific crimes like perjury, lying to an investigator, right, or a police officer or an FBI agent. But it's sort of like a fallback. It's basically you're impeding the progress of an investigation. It could include lying to somebody. It could include hiding things, concealing things, or destroying documents. We had a case here named Conrad Black. Do you remember him?
He was a
newspaper mogul. And one of the things they got him for was he removed a bunch of boxes from his office and put them somewhere else.
Okay.
And that was deemed to be obstruction of justice because the investigators were looking for those things and couldn't find them. So another example is the Barry Bonds case, where he was found guilty. Eventually, it was overturned on appeal. But he really didn't lie in his grand jury testimony. He sort of was evasive.
Okay.
And that was deemed not to be perjury, but deemed to be obstruction of justice. Again, it was overturned on appeal and for the reason that it just didn't quite rise to the level of impeding an investigation. So, you know, it's used in all different ways, shapes, and forms, and it is used against judges, and it is used against politicians and people who might be deemed to be, you know, standing in the way of something. Will the president be charged with it? I doubt it.
Right.
I doubt that it's going to rise to that level, but if there are other things that went on in conjunction with that, then certainly that could be a possible charge.
And one other follow-up with everything that's going on in that realm before we move on to Jeff Sessions. Wiretapping laws, they vary from state to state, correct?
They do, and there are federal wiretapping laws as well.
Okay, so can you record in Illinois, because now there's been, you know, after the president tweeted, now, because he's known to have taped conversations in New York, which I guess is a one-way, only one party needs to know, some states. What's Illinois' rule? If I'm, you know, if somebody calls me at the house, can I record them without their knowledge?
No, you can't. You have to announce, I am now recording this, and you have to save that if you're going to use it in court, and the courts won't listen to it.
Okay.
And the courts could refer you to a prosecutor, and they take these things pretty seriously. So, and those laws are different all over. You sometimes need one-party consent versus two-party consent. I would imagine if President Trump was talking to somebody in the government, I guess, what is the idea, that he was being taped by them?
He tweeted out that former FBI Chief Comey should be worried or hope there were no tapes of their conversation. He said, hope there are no tapes before he goes leaking to the press.
Well, and I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Everybody who read into it, and even his, they're saying it's like when former President Nixon, taped people in the Oval Office, which then led to Watergate and the missing time.
At all referring to the government doing that, of course they're going to get warrants, because you can.
No, they're talking about the president just taping conversations on his own.
Yeah, I don't know what he's warning them about. I'm sorry, I just don't understand that.
It's a whole big thing, but they're different everywhere. So New York, it might be perfectly legal to just record a conversation and not know. But then in Illinois, it is not.
In other states,
it's not. All right. Okay, so let's move on to something that seems counterproductive, but who knows? We have a lot of unbelievable amounts of people in jail now. And according to the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, he's going to undo some of what was put into place for federal sentencing guidelines during the Obama administration.
And before.
And before.
This wasn't just Obama. administration doing it. We realized that the war on drugs wasn't working,
right,
and we were incarcerating millions of people at the cost of about $1 trillion a year.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, so it was reversed, and the idea was we don't charge people with the most egregious crime, and we don't sentence them at the very top of the sentencing guidelines.
Right.
We do this on a case-by-case basis, obviously with the idea that people who are violent should go to jail, but people who are nonviolent drug offenders shouldn't do as much time,
right,
or they should have other options to try to get them out of the system.
And who had that discretion, the prosecutors or the judges when it came to
sentencing?
All of them. Everybody had this discretion.
The most important, though, in my view, would be the prosecutors, because they're the ones who charge the crimes.
Right.
And there's a wide variety of things you can do on a particular crime.
Okay.
You know, once you charge somebody and they plead guilty, which most of them do, to something, you have these sentencing guidelines. They're called guidelines, but they really aren't. They're mandatory.
Okay.
I mean, the judges enforce them as if they were the law, and they are the law. So you have these people who are spending huge amounts of time in prison. We all hear about it.
Sure.
And it's creating a fatherless society. It's creating all kinds of social problems, and it's costing us $1 trillion a year, it is, in some estimates.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, I was just looking at the stats on this. We have 5% of the population here in the United States, of the whole world. We have 5% of the people, and we have 25% of all people in the world in prison.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And we're paying for it, and it's causing problems. And what Sessions is saying is that we are going to not only charge at the top of the chart, we are going to sentence at the top of the chart, which
for
means
everything.
More people going to jail for longer periods of time. And the other thing that I'm taking out of this, Brian, is that remember, we have marijuana that's legal, at least in, I believe it's 26, 27 states,
right,
for purposes of medical or otherwise, and we have 8 states where it's legal. I think he's saying in a guarded way, we're going after the marijuana.
Because still federally, it's still against the law.
Exactly, and Sessions is no fan of marijuana, and I'm just concerned that the feds are going to go into a jurisdiction, maybe President Trump is going to order them to go into Colorado and start arresting people selling medical marijuana, even though they're licensed to do it,
right,
in that state. So this could be, again, you know...
Is it lazy law enforcement? Is it a hidden political agenda? What do you think motivates this? Because if you're taking the discretion away from your prosecutors, who you got to figure federal prosecutors, pretty well-respected attorneys,
they
know what's going on. If you're taking away their power and just pretty much doing, hey, ABC, this is it, why?
The argument would be that, it'll be more fair because everyone will be treated the same. Everyone will be charged at the top. Everyone will be sentenced at the top. That's fair. But it really isn't, because there are different people with different circumstances that do different things that are going to be sentenced differently and should be charged differently. So this all fits one, doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the idea is we're tough on crime. Eric Holder came out and said something like, this is not tough on crime, this is dumb on crime.
Right.
You know, and that, you have to think about that. We have limited resources to prosecute. The court systems are limited, and the jails are limited. And so the idea that we're going to prosecute everybody that we possibly can just because we can, that's a plan with no foresight. Where is that going to lead us? That's going in the exact opposite direction of where, not just Obama, because people are going to say, he was, you know,
right,
liberal, and so he didn't want to prosecute people. But it was before that we were realizing that it wasn't working. So this is very troublesome, and I think this is going to cause a lot of trouble and a lot of conflict with the prosecutors who don't necessarily want to follow this order.
And this is one of those things where it doesn't have to go before Congress or anything, does it? It's just he's the boss. He makes the policy and that's it.
Right.
So what could we see as the outcome if these prosecutors could leave, right? And then we've got to how do federal prosecutors get their positions?
Well, they apply, and they're highly sought positions.
Right.
They're not highly paid necessarily, but you get the top people from law schools in Chicago. You have to have some experience before you go into the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they're very well trained, and they're good people. They're good high-end
right.
attorneys. You know, my concern would be, yes, that some people may not even go into this
right.
area because of the problem and no discretion. And I think, again, I think it's going to be conflicts. I think there's going to be prosecutors who have been there, some of them are lifetime prosecutors, sure. 20, 30 years, and they have been doing things, you know, a certain way, and they've got their protocol, and now they've got someone from the top who doesn't know their city, doesn't know their area, doesn't right. know the type of crime that goes on, doesn't know what works, and is now making this blanket edict that doesn't have the results in mind.
All right. It's going to be very – I don't get it. As I mentioned earlier, to me it seems lazy.
It seems tough on crime.
Right.
That sounds like we're going to crack down on all those terrible people.
Well, sure, because that was one of the things. Everybody, there's a new sheriff in town. Well, listen, the new sheriff better get the lay of the land before he just starts running his mouth.
And we have to parse who the violent criminals are right. and the nonviolent.
Well, I found this interesting, and if you don't mind, I'm going to read this from the story, that there were different factors that had to be met for federal prosecutors before were instructed not to charge someone for a drug crime that would trigger a mandatory minimum sentence if certain specific factors were met. And you can comment on these. I do. The relevant conduct didn't involve death, violence, a threat of violence, or possession of a weapon.
Okay, right. That's
so
good.
So you're carrying drugs or whatever. That's right. All right. The defendant wasn't an organizer, leader, or manager of others with a criminal organization. So not a boss.
Right.
Makes sense. There were no ties to large-scale drug trafficking operations. And D, the defendant didn't have a significant criminal history, i.e. prior conviction. So if there's a first offense, they weren't going to get charged at the top of the heap.
Right.
If they're not a boss, if they're not tied to a cartel or something like that, and if there was nothing violent.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
It does make sense. That's directed to a result.
Right.
And that's what you should do in law enforcement to figure out, you know, how to deter people, how to get the unsafe people off the streets, but also you have to get people back on the streets. And when you have people go to jail for a lifetime career, their families go away, their families don't get child support, their families, children of people who are incarcerated are like 80% more likely to commit crimes. You can say it's genetic, you can say what you will, but when you don't have a father, it's usually, fathering, you're going to have kids who are going to be doing bad things. It's a societal problem that's not just the guy going to jail for 10 years. This is it's going to be handed down generationally, the issues that arise because of it. And it's a disaster. I see it every day.
Is this the same or different than the three-strike rule?
I think it's a little bit different. The three-strike rule, you can kind of argue that if someone's been in the system twice and they commit something again, that, you know, we're done with them.
Yeah.
Although we hear how perverse that becomes when someone steals a pizza and goes to jail for life. Whenever you have, I think, Brian, hard and fast rules, and I even think prosecutors will tell you this, they want discretion. Judges want discretion.
Right.
They want to say to the little old woman who sold, you know, kited a check to put her kid through, you know, high school or something, you know, you want to charge that person differently than someone who stole
sure.
a car. That's a different crime.
Yeah.
But sometimes the judges and the prosecutors, and now for sure the prosecutors aren't going to have a lot of discretion.
All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, Karen, we will have the follow-up on last week's question. Calls and texts are coming in, 312-981-7200. Karen Conti is here. She's answering your questions. We will have our follow-up after this on WGN. All right, last week, if you remember, we had a texter call in, and he had had a fence company out, and they had done a survey, and he put a fence, a nice cedar fence, if I remember correctly, along his property line. His neighbor painted the neighbor's side of this person's fence, and now the fence looked horrible. And so he wanted to know what he could do, and I can't remember exactly what you told him, but it was basically, I don't know, I don't remember.
If the fence is on his property,
right.
No one else can paint it. No one can go on your property and paint it. That's trespassing, and that's your property, and it's defacing his own property.
Right, and we talked about how fence companies usually leave some sort of easement off the property line for just this reason. So then your neighbor could build a fence on his line, too, and the two fences would not meet.
Right.
All right, so that was last week. This from the same texter. I texted last week about my neighbor who painted his side of my fence. I confronted him about it, and he told me where to go. This past week, he stood upwind and sprayed weed killer into my yard. It looks like the Air Force dropped Agent Orange onto my lawn. I called the police, and they said if I didn't see him do it, they can't do anything. I'm afraid he may have a dangerous streak, so I'm getting cameras mounted. Am I allowed to aim them in his direction or at his property?
Okay. We're assuming this is single-family residence because a lot of condo associations have rules that you can't do that.
Okay.
And I've handled those kinds of situations. But, yes, you can. If the camera is on your property and it's aimed in his direction, that's fine as long as it's not, you know, looking into his wife's bedroom or, you know, or a child's room or something that's violating maybe an expectation of privacy. But if it's solely aimed at the outside on the fence, I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever.
Okay.
The only thing that you have to be careful of is the audio tape, because the wiretapping laws do not allow us to audio tape unless the person is giving consent.
Okay.
So the safe thing to do is not to have any audio.
So no audio, just video.
Yes.
But if you've got a camera pointed at your backyard and his backyard is in there, that's okay.
It's fine. And, you know, and this goes to, like, if you think about it, like, we have Google Earth now, right?
Right.
I mean, you can go on and see anyone's backyard.
Yes.
So there's no expectation of privacy in a backyard or even at, you know, going into his house, as long as it's not, like I said, peering into a house and seeing people naked or doing something that, you know.
So if at some point it's pointed at your neighbor and they open their drapes or something and you see inside there, but that's not the main purpose of the camera. It's an incidental viewing. Is that?
That's probably not a problem, because if you open your drapes and you're standing there in your underwear, you probably don't have an expectation of privacy.
Okay.
If your camera, for some reason, has superpower and can go in and look at things that you wouldn't normally think someone could see,
right,
then that is a problem.
Okay,
then
so if you're in your house, you know, doing a remote zoom and all of a sudden you can read the guy's checkbook on his table, that's bad.
But
if you're just looking outside, all right, good luck. Keep us posted. No fence,
you know,
pun intended.
These things are really horrible, because we might kind of giggle at them and laugh at them, but I'm telling these things escalate so quickly, and when you are trying to enjoy your life and your privacy, I mean, I understand why this guy wants to put the cameras on,
but please know
when he does this is going to raise the level, because, you know, I've seen the dueling cameras come out.
Oh, really?
And I've seen every time someone comes in the yard, then he might stand there with a handheld video camera and tape record and watch everything that's going on. And just because he's following the law doesn't mean the other guy's going to follow the law.
What about lights? What if, you know, people want to put in a situation like this or other situation, people go, well, I got to put lights in my yard. And then the lights are shining bright in other people's houses.
And then the question is that somehow diminishing your ability to enjoy your property?
To sleep or whatever.
Exactly. And there's probably even ordinances in some of these towns about how bright lights can be, when they have to go off, and that type of thing.
All right. Well, good luck. You're right. It can get very, very hairy very quickly.
Yes.
So, all right, Karen Conti is here because it's Sunday night and she's answering your legal questions. I know some of you will wait too long. Some of you are already on the line and texting in, so we're great. Do that, 312-981-7200. But if people miss out, how can they get a hold of you during the week?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, more with Karen on the other side of the news, which comes up in 2 minutes on WGN. I'll give you a choice. Do you want to go phone or text first? Phone,
Alex, text? I'll take the phone for 200.
Phone for 200. Let's go to John in Park Ridge. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question, John?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Currently in Illinois and in Chicago in particular, with the gun thing, I know a couple of Chicago police officers, and they tell me, they said, listen, I regularly arrest guys for guns, and frequently, absolutely nothing happens to them, zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, it's not a case where there's a crime with the gun. It's merely the guy had the gun on him in a residential area. Okay, so they arrest them. When it comes court time, zero happens, according to these cops. So currently, my question really is, currently in Illinois, if you're arrested for a firearm, what's going to happen to you when you get to court, assuming you have relatively clean background?
Well, you know, you bring up a good question, which is, What is the law on the books versus what happens in real life? So your copper friends are telling you what happens in real life, which is they probably either don't get charged with a felony or they maybe plead it down to something at the end of it. But the law, you know, and I don't have the books open here, but my understanding of the law is that it's a felony to have an illegal gun, whether you're not licensed to carry it or whatever, and it's a mandatory minimum 1-year sentence. It can be up to three. And there's all different whistles and bells, too. If you're using it in a crime, of course, it's going to be more. Chicago has a real history of not prosecuting gun crimes and putting people in jail for them, which has really, I think, been a problem in some ways because we have, obviously, some of the highest murder rates in the world here in the city. I don't know if I can tie that directly to the fact that we don't prosecute.
Well,
but
he went on to tell me, he said, in almost every case there is, when someone gets arrested for a more serious crime with a gun, that participated in a shooting some way. When you look back, you will see months and years prior to this arrest, he was arrested with a gun and just let go.
Yep, it wasn't his first rodeo. You're right. And do people get prosecuted differently? Does a white guy in your suburb who gets caught with a gun illegally get treated differently than someone, you know, in Austin? I don't know. Maybe.
I live in Park Ridge. I think there's a murder every 7 years.
Yeah, right.
There's a murder every 2 hours in Chicago.
You know, I don't know the answer to the question. I don't know the stats on it, but I think just suffice to say that it's a felony, mandatory minimum 1 year and up to 3 years. So if they're not being prosecuted fully, you know, that's the discretion of the police and the prosecutors here in the city, and they've made a determination that they're not going to put people in jail who just have a gun. If they use it in a crime, maybe they're going to prosecute it a little bit more strenuously.
All right, John, thank you for the call.
Good point, good question.
Let's go to Cindy. We have another fence question. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. My question is this. I have new neighbors. They built a fence, and it's on my property only because they have a little bungalow, a Georgian, so their sidewalk is almost on my property. Now, the people came, put the fence up, they dug, they poured concrete, and all this concrete sticks up about 3 inches above the dirt, and I have terrible pieces of concrete and stuff that they never fixed. So is it reasonable for me to think my neighbor is supposed to repair this?
If it's on your property, yes. And frankly, if I think what you're telling me is the entire fence is on your property, you could actually ask them to take it down. You know, if they don't do it, you're stuck with a lawsuit. Or you could even do self-help and take it down yourself if it's technically on your property. But you got to be careful in doing that because you don't want to, you know, you want to try to preserve some semblance of decency with your neighbors. But you know, I guess my question is, do you want to take it down?
No, I mean, they asked me if I minded if they put the fence up, and I think it's great because when they come out the side door, which everybody has, it's the third family during 30 years, they use it like a front yard. So with the fence up, I don't have to worry about the kids running, people throwing cigarette butts, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I have this now that I have to either look at or I have to repair. And when I asked him about it, he said, oh, well, why don't you talk to the guy who put the fence up? When the guy came to finish the fence, I said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, oh, talk to the owner. He said he's going to take care of it.
Okay. Well, that's more of a personal issue than a legal issue, because certainly you should have it taken care of. And the owner, you know, I think you should be dealing with the owner, frankly.
The owner of the house. The owner of the house.
Yeah, not the company, because, frankly, I'm surprised that the company put it on your property unless you specifically said it's okay to do that, because they normally won't do that.
Well, it's a Hispanic family. It's a Hispanic contractor. And I guess they have their own set of rules.
I
don't know about that. But Cindy, good luck. I hope it works out. Yeah, it's, you know, those, as you said before, and you've said it before, these neighbor conflicts can get really, really...
Yeah, before a fence goes up, whether you put one up or your neighbor's putting one up, you should get that plat out, you know, that thing that you got at the closing.
Yep.
That tells you where your property line... You should always know where your property line
is. Sounds
it's
like
always smart to do that.
The way Cindy was describing it, it sounds like the concrete from the fence post has spilled over into her part. And
making it unsightly,
And that you'd think the owner would say, tell the fence guy, just fix it.
Fix it, right.
You know, it's not that hard. They asked permission to build the fence, so she sounded cool with that part. Everything seemed good up to this point. We'll finish it up, right? And then everybody goes on happy.
Right.
My nephew recently had some huge medical bills. His home could be going into foreclosure in 3 months. He has a 401k at work, but was told he cannot take money out of it. Isn't this his money? Can the company do this, and is it better to withdraw or to take a loan from there?
I don't know what the rules are of the employer. So there are some 401k plans that you can take loans. Some 401k plans you can take money out, but you have interest and penalties that are very significant. You know, I think that your nephew should talk to maybe a bankruptcy lawyer or a foreclosure lawyer. What I see all the time here is that people don't act quickly enough.
Right.
Okay, so if house might go into foreclosure in 3 months, you know what you should do? Try to sell it.
Yeah.
Try to do a quick sale, short sale. And or sell it to try to get whatever equity. Or if it's underwater, do figure something out. You know, a deed in lieu of whatever remedies are available.
Right.
In fact, I've got a woman who I've referred a bunch of potential clients. All she does is short sales and deeds in lieu, and she helps people in this exact situation. But if you wait until you're in foreclosure, then you're going to get a big judgment against you, and it's never going to go away, and it's going to be a problem forever.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that first before we talk about the 401k. But the issue is, I don't know. I don't know the company policy, and I don't know what the plan says. Normally speaking, a 401k is something that you can take money out of,
but
you're
going to
get hit with it. Yeah.
But your point is very good, and maybe give your number out, because maybe her nephew would want to contact you and find out about, you know, some steps if he hasn't gone into foreclosure yet. See if there's ways to remedy it.
Absolutely. And even bankruptcy. Bankruptcy, I'm not saying it's going to work because some medical bills are not dischargeable in bankruptcy, but you can maybe keep things at bay by filing a bankruptcy strategically. But again, I don't know all the ins and outs of it.
Right.
So send me an email. On this case, this would be the best one. Send an email so I know what county you're in and what the situation is. Conti, that's KCONTI, at kcontilaw.com, and my number is 312-332-7800.
Yeah, if you wait on
Don't wait. Get out ahead of stuff. Yep.
It's, you know, it's rough, but if you know it's coming, it's better to meet it head on than just let it roll right over you.
Right, especially when it comes to your home, people just want to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, they want to cocoon and just, like, close their eyes and not pay attention to the envelopes.
Don't answer the phone, don't answer the door.
Don't do that.
All right, let's go back, because we had the question about our initial fence question with putting cameras up, and you had said, because of wiretap laws in Illinois, just go with video on those cameras. So we have a couple follow-up questions from different texters. Does the audio portion of that law, the wiretap law, apply to businesses as well? So if I own a convenience store, can I have a video camera with audio going there?
My understanding is it applies to everybody.
Okay.
And, you know, again, we're talking about the expectation of privacy. So, you know, does a person in a convenience store have an expectation that their conversation is going to be private? Maybe, maybe not. But you should just be very careful of that when you do that. I err on the side of probably not doing an audio
just
portion.
Just go with video. Another one from the 630, can I have video and audio surveillance inside my apartment legally?
And that's another thing, no, because whoever's there, your wife or your kids or guests, do have expectations of privacy in the home.
But what about, now, like a nanny cam, there's no audio, so that would be okay then,
right.
Correct?
Right.
So even though it's hidden, you could still have it because there's no audio.
Right.
What's the rationale then? Because if I'm coming into somebody's house with the expectation of privacy, that would mean that I don't want my visual image out there. So why is my voice
different,
more protected than my person?
I think, you know, the mirror, my guess, I'm sure there's it's all written out by the legislators and they've thought about these things, but I think when you're saying things, you can incriminate yourself. You can say things that are harmful and hurtful to your own well-being. And I just think that maybe your presence in a place is not a privacy issue, but when you talk, when we have our right to talk and express ourselves, we think we're saying this in a private setting, I think it offends our notions of fairness by doing that. I'm not saying words that are probably don't have a lot of meaning, right. but I just think it's a heavier, it's a higher expectation that what you say is not going to be recorded.
And these are much different than law enforcement surveillance, which has audio and video and all that. That's
right.
A whole different, we're not talking about
and
that.
And by the way, you can audio tape and videotape a police officer making an arrest.
Okay, because that was our final video, up to this point, our final videotape question. An Illinois-related question, the texter says, from the 919. Can we videotape somebody from a distance? Let's say the police were arresting someone else and the audio was recorded as well.
Yeah, there's the laws have kind of flip-flopped back and forth on that, and it is now, you know, okay to do that for a police officer. But if you're catching somebody else's conversation, maybe not, you know, who has an expectation of privacy. So, you know, my favorite example is if you're watching your kid play Little League and you're doing an audio and video recording, you know, is that violating a wiretap? You know, it could possibly be because you didn't get everybody's consent to do that. But when it comes to a police officer, we've decided there's a policy allowing us to do that for purposes of, you know, I suppose keeping our law enforcement officers on their toes.
All right. We've got a divorce question. We will get to that on the other side. Karen Conti is here for a few more minutes taking your legal questions and giving you fundamentally sound answers. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. People can get a hold of you during the week. How?
You can call me, 312-332-7800, or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, more with Karen on the other side. Get your questions in, or you will be out of luck. We have a lot of things to talk about here, but we do like talking to you, and that's why Karen's here to answer your legal questions. She doesn't need to hear my tales of woe. I don't have any this week. Everything's all right. Okay, let's go to the 847, and this is coming to us from Mary. My husband told me he'll be filing for divorce sometime soon. Once he files, is there a limited amount of time that I have to respond, or in other words, follow through and complete the divorce? I ask because I need time to save money for a lawyer. Is there a time limit or deadline for me, or can I take whatever time I need to get financially prepared to participate in the divorce process? Thanks, Mary.
Okay, Mary. Well, once your husband files and once he serves you, meaning the sheriff comes out and gives it to you, you have approximately 30 days to file some response, okay? If you don't do it exactly on 30 days, you're not going to have a problem. You're going to get some more time. But the clock starts ticking at that point. And could you go into court by yourself and say, Judge, listen, I'm going to need another 30 days to find a lawyer. Please give it to me. The judge is absolutely going to give it to you. But also remember, Mary, that you, your husband and your money it's all your money too. Okay. So if you've kept money separate, I know a lot of couples keep all their money separate. And so you feel like I've got to save up money, but my husband has money to do it, but I don't. Well, you can go to court and you can have your lawyer go to court and ask to level the playing field. In Illinois, we have a law that is referred to as a level playing field law. And it means that you can ask your husband to basically give you money for attorney's fees.
Okay.
Okay, so if he's got access to all the money for some reason, it's all in his name, it's not in your name, the court will order him to write a check to your lawyer for an amount certain. The other thing is to use credit cards. Almost all lawyers now use credit cards. And then that becomes a marital debt that at the end of the marriage, at the end of the divorce, the court will order that someone will pay. It may be the husband, it may be the wife. So there's other avenues and other options, but definitely anyone who's thinking about getting divorced or think that their spouse is going to sue them for divorce, you are going to need some money because maybe a lawyer is not going to go into court without some sort of retainer.
Okay.
And it can be very, very, very expensive. The other thing, maybe you could see she could talk to her husband and say, before you engage in this long process, why don't we try to mediate? Maybe we both can get some lawyers and try to go into the mediation before filing in court. So therefore, maybe we can come to an agreement so that the divorce can be shortened and not as expensive.
So attorneys handle setting up the mediator and all that, correct?
Yes.
Or can just the husband and wife, how do you find a mediator?
Yeah.
Attorneys have to do it, right?
There's plenty of mediators out there. A lot of them are lawyers.
Okay.
But the problem is that you probably need some advice before you go into the mediation because, like, for instance, Mary may not know what she's entitled to. What's child support? Do I get maintenance? How long? How much can I expect? Can I keep the house? What if I want to live there? You know, you don't know the answers to those questions until you hire an attorney to give you some advice. Then you can get a mediator. So generally what I say is to get yourself a lawyer and have that lawyer maybe refer you to a couple of good mediators that they've had good experience with.
Now, and it's always unpleasant talking about money. We know that.
Yes.
We all know lawyers need retainers to get started. When you're looking at a divorce attorney, and obviously they come just like any other profession, there's a wide range of divorce attorneys.
Yes.
Is there an average, like somebody like Mary who knows, well, I got to get some money. What would be an amount that they could say, all right, now I've kind of got enough to find somebody? What's a safe range?
I would say somewhere between $2,500 and $5,000.
Would be enough to get you started.
And, you know, when I set my retainer, I will look at various factors. I will look at, you know, are there kids involved? Mm. Are there going to be issues with kids? Sometimes their issues are not with kids. Like, mom's going to, you know, have the kids live with them. Dad's going to pay statutory child support. Okay, that's not an issue. That's so that's not that complicated. Right. Now we talk about dividing a property. Sometimes there's maintenance where one party is making a lot of money, one party isn't. So there might be a fight about that. So I look at how many fights there are going to be, and I sort of think, I want to get enough money so that I don't have to come back to my client and ask for more money, and I certainly don't want to quit and say, listen, I got you halfway through your divorce, and now you can't afford me, and now I have to quit. Right, I don't want to do that. That's not good business, and that's not good for the client.
Sure.
But know that lawyers will withdraw if they don't get paid because, so, you know, parties want to fight and fight and fight until they realize how expensive it is. So, you know,
suddenly you don't have much fight left.
Use your attorney's fees wisely. Don't call your lawyer for every single thing. Big picture, get a plan, get a game book, and try to get things resolved as quickly as you can through mediation, if possible.
All right. I was divorced in 2002. I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years. We used one attorney because I did not have one. We're both 63 now. He is very well off because he had stocks that I was not aware of. I am working and living check to check. He has a condo downtown with two cars. Can I reopen the divorce case? What can I do if I can't afford an attorney?
You're not going to reopen that divorce.
Done.
Not going to reopen it.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I mean, you know,
15 years ago. And
it's way too long, and you would have to show fraud. You'd have to show that he didn't disclose something. My guess is that having one lawyer just never works. I'm telling you, if a lawyer tells you that he or she can do both sides, no way.
It's a fight.
Can a baseball coach both teams?
No.
You know, you can't do that. And I would think it's borderline malpractice to do it because every party, especially a long-term marriage like this where she's a stay-at-home mother, she's going to be entitled to maintenance and she's going to need someone to make sure she's okay for the rest of her life. And if that didn't happen, she's out of luck now. I feel bad, but that's...
Yeah. That's awful. But
don't waste your money going back.
Exactly. All right, well, we have run out of time, as we always do, but we know you'll be on with Steve Cochran Wednesday morning at 6:40, and we know that people will have questions before we meet again next Sunday, so how can they get those questions answered?
You can call me and give me some facts and give me some details on your private phone line, 312-332-7800. Better yet, email me at kcontilaw.com.
All right, have a great week.
You
we will
too.
See
Happy
you
Mother's
next
Day
Sunday.
To everyone.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody. We'll come back, say goodbye after this. It's WGN. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. I really appreciate it. Always have, always will. For the next, 11 years? We've got 11 under our belt. Should we go for a few more? All right, we'll go for a few more. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Cody. And again, thanks to you. Rick Hogan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and the machine will say, I will do what I want. That's right. This report of news is sponsored by RZA Acura. It's 9 o'clock. Roger Badish.